Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The army in Belfast has completed its main operation, but is keeping and even tightening its grip on the city. This is being done with a strong force not so much on the streets as overlooking the streets, and bases established yesterday were strengthened today. At Casement Park, the Gaelic football ground on the edge of Andersonstown, the gunners were securing their grandstand headquarters with sandbags and with wire. This is one of the places where, among some sections of the community, the army's takeover is not at all popular, for there'll be no more football at Casement Park for a while, and this was a social centre too, whose use is now denied to local people.
I mean, Lindsay McLaren is an Ulster Unionist Party sort of member and very, very progressive, very much in the progressive side of unionism, you know, and that shouldn't be drowned out in all this hatefulness that's going on around Casement. She tweeted just today, just before we came on air, Casement Park, I have to ask, if it was rugby that happened to be the last in the three sport investment plans for stadia regeneration in Northern Ireland, would we be having such a ferocious debate? Imagine if Ravenhill was in the dire state that Casement Park is now in. Would we be taking to social media and witnessing the vile and divisive attacks directed to the Irish Rugby Football Union that we are seeing towards the GAA? The GAA needs, deserves, and we're promised a stadium. That is the end of the matter.
Well, I think yeah.
Lindsay will get a huge amount of stick for that. But, you know, it is important to remind ourselves honestly of the position in the north. The IFA contributed 10% of the total cost of the redevelopment of Windsor Park. If the new stadium in Belfast costs 145 to 150 million, okay, 65 million at the moment is being contributed between the Irish government and the GAA. The GAA will up that. But that starts to bring you towards roughly 40, 42% of the total cost. The difference being that because Casement Park is a ground-up job and not a redevelopment, because of the huge neglect of West Belfast and of the north of Northern nationalism in general, you know, this is now going to be a major world-class stadium. And, you know, it'll be brilliant to see Northern Ireland soccer team playing there. And in due course, the Irish soccer team, I think all that's coming down the tracks.
What do you mean by that?
It's also, well, I mean, it's, what would be 10, 15 years, it'll be Ireland at that stage. I mean, all of this is happening regardless of the sectarianism.
Well, you know, it's funny, I was looking at the FAI when they appeared in front of the Public Accounts Committee last week and, you know, got themselves into, there is no sporting organization quite like the FAI for getting themselves into incredible messes of their own making. And they appeared, this organization that's, you know, got a pretty troubled history and needs to demonstrate that it is a change organization, goes in, with an email entirely redacted, everything redacted, their own social media channels, the date, the time, everything redacted. And this is all, you know, they end up in a few hours, you spend a whole morning in with the Public Accounts Committee being grilled essentially on an 11,000 euro payment in lieu of holidays made to the CEO. And they're looking for huge amounts. The FAI are looking for huge amounts of public money from the Irish government at the moment. They want a betting levy increase. No, wait, let me finish.
They've been a watchword for corruption.
Well, they're not a watchword. They're not a watchword. No. But the point I'm making.
This is an honest,
point I'm making it,
uncorrupted attempt to build
a
proper stadium for the people of the
North. They were a watchword for corruption. I don't think that's not the case under the new regime. But they still may be incompetent. But what I thought, looking at that, and when you talk about 10 to 15 years, and you talk about Casement Park being a state-of-the-art stadium, you know, it's going to be a GAA stadium. But I look at it and go, why do we have the FAI at all? Why doesn't the Irish football community throw our lot in with the IFA, get ourselves access to Casement Park for the occasional match when we don't sell out the Aviva, get ourselves Conor Bradley, most importantly, and play. We don't need to wait 10 or 15 years for an All-Ireland football team, soccer team. Like, that could be happening much quicker than that. We don't need the country to be united for there to be further integration in terms of sport on this island. Like, that's the thing I'm thinking as well at this point. Looking at the haplessness of the FAI, like, there's nothing there we can't afford to lose.
You see, we've got an organization which I suppose people are very envious of, and for example, the DUP and the loyalist community in the North, the unionist community, doesn't really understand that. They don't understand how an amateur organization like this can thrive and be at the heart of everything that we do, and be at the heart of community building. I mean, my own club, Dungiven, for example, we run a number of cross-community initiatives. You know, Kieran McKeever is the vice chair, the greatest cornerback that ever played the game. And we apply for all the grants that are available. We have a person whose job in the club is to apply for grants. We have a thriving hall. We have a full-time chef. You know, we've turned it into a sort of a part club museum part. We've got a snug, beautiful snug. We've got a bigger hall for events. We run the meals. We run a meals on wheels service. You know, we have over 100 volunteers who play their part in relation to that. Anybody in the community who's done in their luck, well, funds are raised. I mean, for example, we have a coal run where we have elderly pensioners and we make sure that they have fuel throughout the winter. We make sure that their needs are catered for, whatever those needs might be. And this is a very similar pattern that you'll see across the GAA in general, and particularly the GAA in the six counties, because it means so much to us. Because really, you know, during the Troubles, it was all we had. That's what we had. That was our hope. That was our... And you see that with Charlotte Burns being elected as the president of the GAA, a proud South Armagh man, a fluent Irish speaker from a very strongly Republican background, you know. And what a wonderful fella. And what a... I mean, the first time I met Jarlath after I had known him from college and playing football against him and all of that, I drove down to Silverbridge because he had invited me down just to see what they were doing. And when I arrived, Jarlath was in a trench with a shovel digging out the foundations for the new knee skull in the grounds of Silverbridge. He's there every day. He's going to stay on as the secretary of Silverbridge. He is beloved in that community. I don't know if you saw his homecoming on Saturday after he'd been formally elected as Uachtaráin of the GAA. You know, and it was a very tearful occasion. The 96-year-old president of the club wept when he hugged him. And that's what the GAA means to us. And so whenever people like Matt Cooper belittle what we're doing, you know, and take a loyalist line in relation to Casement Park, what he needs to understand is that that makes absolutely no difference to us. we were left alone. We sank or swimmers or swam ourselves, and we swam. And boy, did we swim. You look at us now, and every aspect of our community, outward looking, you know, interested only in equality, and everyone doing well regardless of religion. So this sort of small-minded sectarian crap, which has no place in my community, you know, it's not going to have any impact on us. Trust me, brother. Casement Park will be built. It will be a magnificent stadium. We will leave it open to rugby, soccer, anyone who needs it. And I have absolutely no doubt that in very, very short order, the communities, Protestant loyalist communities across the north, will be using the state-of-the-art conference and music and other facilities there as and when they need to.
Well, what I hope is, in
10 years' time, see, what they're really afraid of is this. And it's a boogeyman. It's a boogeyman, right? It's a bit like the huge fears over a Sinn Féin first minister. So it was like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. And the DUP were going around the doors, kind of saying, oh, fuck, we're never going to let that happen. Don't worry about that. And the wee Protestant people terrified of this boogeyman. Oh, my God, if Michelle O'Neill becomes the first minister, Jesus Christ, we'll all be, our lives are going to disintegrate. It's going to be a living nightmare. We're going to be surrounded by Irish street signs. Jesus Christ of Almighty. You know, we're going to have to spend all our time in the Dundonald ice rink learning to skate because there's nowhere else that's going to be safe for us from these bloody Fenians. What? And it was just going to be a disaster, a cataclysm. This is a tsunami that's going to sweep us away. If that Fenian bitch from Killyland ever becomes the first minister. And then they wake up the next morning.
Having spent a night at the ice rink just for safety. They spend a night. They come out of there like that, coming out of a bomb shelter. And find that.
That's right. The Protestant people of Ulster have taken to sleeping overnight in the Dundonald ice pool. In tents. We go now to the Dundonald ice pool to Tara Mills from the BBC Northern Ireland. Tara, what are we seeing down there? Well, we have sentries up here who are looking out for Republicans from all the major vantage points. You see, the thing about Casement now is this, and this is the fear. You see, the landmark in Belfast that dwarfed everything was Stormont. And Stormont was meant to dwarf everything. That was meant to emphasise the Reich, this sort of Ulster Reich that would last forever, an Ulster Protestant Reich. And, you know, you had Edward Carson, you know, as I call it, flipping the bird to the Fenians in that vast, magnificent statue out the front. He's actually sort of turning his fist with a finger up slightly, but it looks really like giving the bird. But now, of course, you're going to have this glittering European-style stadium on the hill in West Belfast, dwarfing the landscape around it. You know, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the 3D images of it, but it is truly magnificent, and it's going to glitter. You know, it's going to be the most spectacular sort of jaw-dropping architectural landmark in the north. And in Belfast, it's going to dwarf everything.
Mm. Well, I hope it gets...
These fucking uppity Fenians at it again. Can they not spend that money on hospitals and in council houses and things like that, and things like the Dundonald ice pool, and would they not be better giving that money to Ulster Rugby, or would they not be better giving that money to amateur soccer clubs in Protestant areas of the north, which is exactly what Jim Shannon of the DUP suggested.
I hope it gets built into. I hope we get Joe. I hope it does get built in time for the Euros, because when you talk about this and you talk about the objections of the DUP and various people, it is almost like a kind of a Brexit situation again. It's like we will oppose what the other side wants, and if it ends up that, because you know it's a very tight timeline for it to be built in time for the Euros. It needs to be done in 3 years, and that is a very, very It wouldn't get built down here in 3 years.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry. You can tell your pal Matt Cooper when you see him. Don't worry about it, Matt. We'll have it built. If it's not built in time for the Euros, it'll be at capacity for Ulster finals. We'll have concerts there. It'll be absolutely vibrant. And he can come up as a guest of mine. And I've got my name down for 2 debenture seats right in the center of the stand. And he can come as a guest of mine, and he can watch.
Do you get tickets for? Do they get you tickets for the Euros or only the Ulster final, or all events?
Brother, when it comes to Case and Park, I didn't get tickets for anything.
I was in
and I'll phone call and I'll text boys. How's it going there? Jesus, Joe O'Cara, how's it going? What do you need? What do you need for the game? I said, I'm bringing a couple of DUP boys. And you know that guy, Matt Cooper? Oh, fuck me, you're not bringing Matt Cooper. Oh, no, look, we're trying to educate these people. And you see, this is what we're doing in the North. Right? I mean, I look around me. I mean, I look, for example, at the call of senior counsel in the North last week and how the entire demographic has changed and how nobody in you know, legal circles in the North, in barrister circles, gives one damn what religion anybody is, you know, and look at the makeup of the judiciary now, which reflects the demographics in the North. And, you know, I even look at things like BBC Northern Ireland. I mean, we've talked about the documentary that's gone out this week, you know, which shows the censorship and the endemic discrimination against my community and how that was a deliberate policy on the part of BBC Northern Ireland. You know, that immortal line from Paul Fox, who was the former BBC One controller, the bloody Protestants ran the BBC in Northern Ireland during the Troubles and people were not told the truth. I mean, and you trace that down through even sports coverage in the North, you know, and I remember Jerome Quinn, who was famously sacked by the BBC Northern Ireland. He was the first GAA sports reporter in the BBC. And he told a story about interviewing me once on an All-Stars night in the 90s, the mid-90s. And at that stage, the GAA was barely covered. But there was a programme called Saturday Sports Sound. Right. Sports Sound. And it was an institution that was very well drilled, well-staffed machine, 2 to 6 every Saturday. And it went around all the Irish League grounds, you know, Linfield against, you know, Bally, whoever, and, you know, Ballymena United versus Glentoran. And the coverage was absolutely comprehensive. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was never no mention of the GAA or anything like that. And you get your previews, updates, you know, we're going to Sammy at Distillery. Sammy, what's happening down there?
Where's Sammy
from?
You got
the throw-ins for the
just
hockey.
Just,
you know, Sammy Braithwaite, people like this. You know, we've got Sammy Braithwaite joining us down at Listener Garvey Hockey. Sammy, how's the game going down there? And you had your hockey, cricket, rugby, car rallies, all of that. Now, they did then, from about sort of maybe 92, 93, they started a Sunday GA show, but that lasted 15 minutes. That was like, oh, God, I'm fucking this in now, you know? And... So anyway, Jerome did an interview with me and he said, look, that was really entertaining. I had a few jars on letting fly, you see. And he brought it up to them to put into the Saturday Sports Sound program. And he was told, like, I mean, to be honest, we don't really know who Joe Brawley is, you know, and it wasn't used. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. He always said, you know, like, just. I said, oh, how did that go? He says, oh, they wouldn't play it, you know. Because this was an institution that had been built for Protestants, you know, for people following local soccer, just the same as the whole state. It was a reflection of the state. And, you know, I advise people to watch the documentary on BBC Four. But Jerome said that they had this thing called Pigeon News, right? And it was on before my interview was supposed to be on, which was shelved. And so what you had was you had people sent in wee bits of copy to cater for minority sports, God. Of which the GA was one, you know. And people would send in news about you know, pigeon racing and things like that.
Pigeon news. And,
pigeon news, that's what it was called. Yeah. And my interview was
a pigeon news
shelved because there'd been a very important pigeon race.
Well, I could see why this would have set Joe Brawley, you know, relegated. It's like Jerome in Spinal Tap first. When they're underneath the puppets, or they've got the building right. underneath the puppet show. You're billed underneath the pigeons.
I mean, a good friend of mine. Dowdsy is, you know, he's involved with the Lyric Theatre and was a producer in the BBC. And great fella, you know, very even, just really likeable fella. And anyway, he, whenever Tyrone won the All-Ireland in 2003, and at that stage, obviously, things had started to open up. You know, you could see the odd game and some highlights were on BBC then, say, round about the start. Say maybe round about the 90s, the early 90s, they then started to, for the first time, read GA results, but they only did the results of teams from the north.
Right.
So they only did the six counties.
So if a team from the north was playing a team from the south, would they just read out the team from the north? So, you know, down 112 versus...
If you were playing Kerry or something like that, they would read that.
Give the full score. Well, that's progress.
That was, you know... And Jackie Fullerton was obviously the doyen of commentators in the north. And I say I love Jackie, and I mean Jackie's an institution. He's a sex symbol in the north. I mean, Jesus. There were T-shirts that did the rounds at Windsor Park for years. You know that the supporters would be wearing T-shirts, thousands of them saying, "I'm Jackie Fullerton's love child." You know, they would unfurl these huge banners. You know, there was one memorable banner that went across Windsor during a match. You know, the way the fans push these huge banners across above their heads, says Jackie Fullerton booked my ma. So they had this thing about Jackie as a sex symbol, you see, and Jackie loved all that and he rose to the occasion. You know, I think Paddy Keelty told the story on the Late Late Show when he was on with Gay Burner on the night he wore the balaclava. Wouldn't be able to do that anymore in the interest of balance. But, and the other side of the story, you know, because there's always another side to genocide, as Paddy reminded us whenever NECAP were on the other night. But I don't blame Paddy for that, by the way. You know, obviously RTE had instructed him to say that if they did, in fact, raise Palestine, which it was clear they were going to do. But anyway, Paddy told the story about Jackie Fullerton, the first time GA results were read out on the BBC Northern Ireland. You know, it was an epic occasion. And, you know, Jackie talks like that, very smooth, you know, and he says, Linfield 2, Distillery 1. And now, Gaelic Athletic. And now, a bit of a novelty coming up now, because there wouldn't be a sectarian bone in Jackie's body. And now a bit of a novelty here for us, Gaelic Athletic Association results. Derry 2-7. Armagh. 1 goal and 6 points. Antrim, 2 goals and 16 points. Down, 3 goals and 15 points. Well done to whoever won that one.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
And of course, everybody loved that, you know, because it was Jackie, of course, you know, everybody loved that. And you, I go back to Dougie's story. So Dougie, after Peter Canavan had finally sort of lived up to his birthright, it was either 2003 or 2005 after he had, I mean, he was absolutely dominant in 2005 because he'd been injured in the 2003 final and he played on one leg, literally. They'd kept him on for the freeze and just for the morale of his young teammates, who I don't think really needed that much morale boost, and they were a ferocious, brilliant team. But anyway, Dougie told me that he pitched to the BBC top brass a documentary on Peter Canavan, you know, this incredible, extraordinary career. And there were blank looks around the table. And the controller said to him, remind me. They didn't know who Peter Canavan was.
Right.
And that was, you know, 2003, 4, 5, in and around that time. Possibly, I think it would have been then after he'd won his couple of All-Irelands and had established himself as one of the sort of legendary, that tiny band of legendary Gaelic footballers, you know. And, but I will say that, again, like everything else in the North, you know, the BBC is on a journey now as well. I mean, we've got Tommy Niblock there. There's a very good guy in charge of BBC Ulster's sports coverage now. And, you know, he's from a rugby background, but very, very good with the GAA. And entirely even-handed, you know. And so, as this equality spreads inexorably, you know, even people like the DUP and Matt Cooper, we'll bring them along. You know, we'll educate them. We'll bring them along with us.
I think you've been very hard on Matt Cooper. You know, in due course.
See, in 20 years' time, I mean this sincerely. The DUP top brass, I mean, obviously then, I don't know, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson may very well be the first unionist Taoiseach. Mm. We'll have the DUP top brass sitting with the President of Ireland at All-Ireland Finals, or possibly even someone from a unionist background in the North as the President of Ireland, as the Uachtaráin. And why not? Because, you know, as we move towards a very modern, liberal, wealthy society, which I believe is going to happen once we've got unity, and I mean everything, every argument of common sense and logic points towards that, then we're going to be a powerhouse where everyone's going to want to live, everyone's going to want to be part of this fair, equal society. You know, I mean, who wants to be part of a country like England? You know, a really diseased country where you have the Conservative Health Secretary, Victoria Atkins, saying this week, do you know I have the privilege of having some wonderful food banks in my constituency?
I have the privilege of some wonderful food banks in my constituency.
Well, I don't think it's a question of, yeah, no, we know what the Tory government is like, and they're on their last legs. And I don't think it's a question of people want to be part of the country they feel an affinity towards. So if you're English, you feel an affinity towards that country. I don't think it's like, we've gone into this before, but I, you know, there are great, great communities and great people in England as there are in this country. I don't think it's to aspire to unity.
They're not revealing themselves.
They're everywhere.
They're not revealing themselves in the mainstream. The mainstream there is really in a very dangerous condition.
But
other voices are being censored in the media there. I mean, it's desperate to see what has happened to a country that after World War II, you know, looked as though it was going to be a beacon for the rest of the world. You know, with the health service, with the advances in support of trade unions, things like that, you know, their efforts at progressive taxation, all of those things. I mean, just look what's becoming of that country now. I mean, it's just turning into a a twin brother of the US.
Mm. I think it is interesting what's going to happen with Casement. And I think Jarlath Burns, you know, when you talk about where he comes from and Silver Bridge and the community, he is an exceptional person. And I think he's going to be an exceptional leader for the GAA and become somebody who isn't just an important figure in GAA life. He is an important figure in life for everybody on this island, because how he understands all communities, what he's done in terms of reaching out, what he's done in terms of connecting is hugely important. And I think, you know, with Casement Park built while he's president, I think you've got a real chance of seeing something substantial there, because he's a figure of and, you know, he took me under the, it's not just because he took me under his wing at Congress one year, but he is a man of real substance.
He is the first person, he is the first GAA president in history to have been complimented on his election by the PSNI Twitter account. Mm. Now you think about that. He hosts PSNI Information Days in his school, which is the biggest school in the north.
Yeah, I've been there. I've visited him there.
Yeah. And you know, he doesn't give up anything of who he is. He doesn't compromise his principles. You know, a brilliant Irish speaker, brilliant fella, community man, the ideal. He is the ideal of what we all want to be in the GAA, you know. And I agree with you entirely. You know, I just wonder, do we have time to get that result between Listen to Garvey Young Boys and Crusaders at the Oval?
Well, it would have been. I remember those terrible. I remember when we used to watch BBC when we got BBC as a kid in you know, on the East Coast of Ireland, we used to watch the final score at 5 o'clock on a Saturday to get all the results. And this was when grandstand was, you know, such a huge part of everyone's lives. And you'd be watching the reports from all the grounds in England. And then there was that terrible moment because we were watching on BBC Northern Ireland.
To switch to the
local results. You're like, no, I don't care. I really don't fucking care. Go back. Tell me what happened. If they were unionists, if unionist people were being true to themselves, they too would have said, we don't care about this. Tell us what's happening in England. Because that's, you know, truly where, yeah, surely where their allegiance lies.
That's it, brother. And whenever we're watching Northern Ireland against England in the magnificent new Casement Park, the Northern Irish supporters will be quite entitled to unveil their large banner that says, no Casement Park.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Belfast has the best stadiums, the biggest stadiums, the most beautiful stadiums. You know, I can't wait until Northern Ireland play England at Casement Park in the Euros. West Belfast won't have seen a bigger bunch of English dicks since the Pleasure Boys hit the Devonish.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.